Hello and welcome to episode 22 of the Rollo and Slappy Show. I am Rollo McFlugel and with me is Slappy Jones 2 and we are both at McFlugel.com. Today is January 16th, 2017. The show notes page for this episode is McFlugel.com/22. Before we get started, I wanted to mention the GoFundMe campaign that I started to send Bill Kristol on an Iraqi vacation since he loves the wars, especially the ones in Iraq that George W. Bush started so much. So figured let's show him his handiwork. Well, of course, never take us up on that offer, and I would never want him to give him any sort of financial assistance anyway. So any money that we raise in the GoFundMe campaign will be donated to antiwar.com for the great work that they do. So check out McFlugel.com vacation or check out the show notes page, McFlugel.com/22 for more information. So now I'm going to pass it over to Slappy, and he's going to introduce the topic.
Thank you, Rollo, and thank you, everyone, for joining us today. Today we're going to talk about, since it is the last week of Barack Obama's presidency, we are going to talk about his legacy and what we can expect or what we hope to expect from Donald Trump. So for me, Obama, 8 years in president, as president, he's going to be remembered to me as the drone president. I think most of the people that I talk to out in the public at work, clients, friends, they don't even know half the countries we're currently bombing. And that's pretty scary and pretty sad. He's kind of sneaky. I mean, this guy did win a Nobel Peace Prize, which is pretty crazy. There was an article linked on Drudge a couple days ago, maybe it was last week or so, by the Council on Foreign Relations. And I just want to quote the article real quick. It says, in President Obama's last year in office, the United States dropped 26,172 bombs in seven countries. This estimate is undoubtedly low, considering reliable data is only available for airstrikes in Pakistan, Yemen, Somalia, and Libya. And a single strike, according to the Pentagon's definition, can involve multiple bombs or munitions. In 2016, the United States dropped 3,028 more bombs and in one more country, Libya, than in 2015. End quote. That's pretty scary to me because I don't think most people out there think of him as a war president. They'll, of course, remember George W. Bush as the evil war criminal. And somehow I think Obama's going to get a pass, but I mean, that's his legacy to me. What do you have to say about that, Rollo?
Yeah, I think that, and I give him credit for this in a sick, dark, demented way, but he made it cool to be a war criminal. Because you take a look at what George W. Bush did with his foreign policy and every policy, basically, and Obama just carried it along, carried it through.
Basically the same president, especially foreign policy-wise.
Oh, yeah. And I doubt he's going to have any major changes of heart in the next few days. Donald Trump is inaugurated on Friday. Today is Monday. And assuming that, you know, the trend continues that it has been, Obama will be the first president ever in the United States history to be at war for every second of his 8 years as president. That's insane.
That is pretty incredible.
And we don't see any end. And also, I mean, George W. Bush, it was really only a few months, less than a year that he wasn't at war, well, at least that we knew of. But it's been going on since 2001.
Crazy.
And it's 2006, 17. I almost said 16 again. And it's still, there's no end in sight either. So it's just, it's the new normal. And I think, because like you said, everyone on the left, at least, saw George W. Bush as this war criminal who's evil and terrible and causing all these problems around the world. And that is all that is correct. But then when Obama comes in, I remember talking to people and they would say, oh, well, he got us out of Afghanistan. When? Like, people actually believe that he's like a peacenik guy. And it's incredible. Let me just finish this thought.
Yeah, go ahead.
What I believe is incredible is that he has people on the left acting like he's, you know, this peace guy, peace loving, be friends, you know, on war. And people on the right are acting like he's weak on terrorism and Islam and all this stuff. He doesn't do enough. And meanwhile, he's just an absolute, one of the worst butchers we've ever seen in the country.
Yeah, and that was exactly the point I was going to make, is don't forget the right, because the right is always saying, this guy's soft. We need a man in there who's going to stand up to these ISIS, and, you know, Obama's trying to make peace with everyone, which is just so far from the truth if you look at the statistics. Or look at the facts. Well, forget statistics. I mean, last year alone, most people would probably say we're not at war, or maybe we're kind of at war, or we've definitely scaled down. It's not like the Bush years. But if you divide that number, that 26,000 some, divided by 365, you get 71.7 bombs per day. We still talk about Pearl Harbor. What was that, 75 years ago?
Yeah.
I mean, imagine any country, Canada, Russia, Iraq, who cares, name one, dropping 72 bombs per day on the United States.
Well, that's not even bombs, because that's where they do their other
strikes. That's airstrikes.
Their convenient definition, just like a militant. They say, oh, they, you know, there's an airstrike, a bombing, which implies one bomb, because, you know, it's probably, you know, however many, and it killed four militants. Well, you kind of peel the onion back a little bit, and you find out what a militant is by the U.S. government's definition, and it means any male of fighting age. Doesn't mean they're actual enemy combatants, actual terrorists or anything. They could just be just a 16-year-old kid walking down the street minding his own business. Boom, he gets blown up. That's a militant.
Fighting age.
Yep.
So anyway, I think we made our opinion clear on foreign policy. What do you say domestically on his legacy?
Basically the same thing. He was George W. Bush, except he passed Obamacare a little bit. And, you know, how different would it have been if Romney was president? Because
it would be different, because it would be called Romney Care.
Exactly.
Because, and the Republicans would love it, and they would say how it created a market, and the Democrats would be saying, this helps the insurance companies, and my deductible is way too high, and I can't afford this, and you're forcing me to this, and all the poor people are struggling because of it. You would just flip the R and the D.
It's kind of like how Paul Krugman all throughout Obama's term was saying that deficits don't matter. And then in the last week or so, he wrote a column that says, well, deficits now matter. It's like,
which he even said it after the election, that deficits don't matter. Right. He just suddenly changed his mind.
Yep. And it's incredible that it's just that over the top how some people are with it. It doesn't matter what, you know, what the policy actually is. It just matters what letter is next to the politician's name and how they'll judge it. And I did it because I used to be, you know, a rah-rah Republican neocon. And, you know, I remember praising George W. Bush for the stuff he did, and which was the same exact stuff that Clinton did or what Obama was going to, you know, whatever. And it's just, and it goes, you know, we're kind of flying all over the map now, but with Trump, and I think we talked about this last week, or we made the comment, you know, Trump's not, doesn't advocate anything conservative, which is what he's supposed to be. Like, what are his conservative policies? That he's going to tax people who try to leave the country, the businesses, and he's
very
gonna,
protectionist.
Right. Those aren't conservative values, but they'll twist it around in a way that is. I was listening to Sean Hannity the other day on the radio. It was a little bit painful, but he was talking about, you know, all the great things that Trump's going to do, or at least hoping that he was going to do, and he was talking about, you know, the economic warfare that he was going to engage in. Of course, he didn't refer to it that way, but talking about putting up trade barriers and taxes and all sorts of tariffs. And Hannity was acting like it was the greatest thing in the world. That's not like those aren't conservative values to tax or to pick the winners and losers of business. It isn't. What happened to the conservative principles of, you know, free enterprise and free markets? No. Oh, that's right. You don't. They have no concept of what a free market actually is.
But they say the word all the time.
Right.
You know, it depends. If a Republican's president, then he's helping the United States. If a Democrat's doing it, then it's crony capitalism. To Hannity. that is.
Right.
And vice versa to someone else on the other side. I'll give Kennedy some credit if I could. He did an interview with Julian Assange, which was I thought was very good. I don't know if you saw that. It has nothing to do with what we're talking about, but right. I was shocked because Hannity did a good job with it.
Right, but if that interview were done 10 years ago?
Yeah, exactly. If it was done in 2007, of course, he would have been. And actually, that's why I give Hannity credit, is he said that.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, he said, you know, in 2009 or whatever, I was very angry with you, and he basically apologized and kind of said he was wrong. I mean, maybe re-listen to that, but that's kind of the impression I got from him. I was shocked because I can take Hannity for about 5 seconds before,
right?
You know, he talks over people. But anyway, back to what we were saying.
Yeah, we'll see what happens if Assange and WikiLeaks release some real dirt on Donald Trump. See how.
Yeah. Well, and Julian Assange says if he gets it, he's releasing it. It's not like this is some kind of Julian Assange is a secret Republican.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's absurd to think that.
Yeah. I mean, he released Sarah Palin's emails. And
yep.
I'm sure there's plenty of others. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. But just let's talk a little bit more about Obama's legacy with, we talked about foreign policy, and I don't think there's much more to talk about. It's obvious to us, at least.
Yeah. But hey, if you are listening and aren't aware, we are bombing Yemen. Most people don't know what Yemen is. They probably think it's a crayon in a Crayola coloring box. It's an actual country, and we are bombing them. So if you can find it on a map, you win.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. Speaking of that, I forget who it was, but someone in Congress didn't know where a country they were going to attack was.
That's got to be the first rule. You have to know where they are before you can start bombing them.
Yeah. You got to be able to look on a map and even have the names of the countries on the map. I'd let them do that.
Yeah. But just, at least give me a general area.
Yeah.
Anyway, continue on.
So some other, because Obama was supposed to be a lot of things. What about some more social issues? Do you think he did anything or not? That's the thing where I want to catch myself. The president shouldn't be doing stuff. That's
right.
That's part of the problem.
The executive branch, right? The legislator's supposed to do this, and he's supposed to.
But it's like, let's look at an example of just, since we're talking about people that, blow with the wind and whatever is trendy or whoever's in power is who gets the attention. But look at gay marriage. Candidate Obama and Obama president early on was saying, oh, marriage is between a man and a woman. And he said that because that's what most people believed. And then public opinion changed and he's like, oh yeah, gay marriage, and it's ridiculous that certain states or whatever are going to not allow that to happen. And Hillary Clinton did the same thing. If you were watching the last 8 years at all without the really heavily rose shaded glasses, then you should be able to see that it's just a game. Well, and it doesn't, their actual views and what they say as their candidates doesn't matter at all.
I agree with you, but I do want to caution people on that because, I mean, if you pulled up quotes from me from the John McCain's running when he was running for president, I would be a complete flip-flopper.
Oh, so would I. And I actually wrote a note that I wanted to say that, if you asked me what I was going to feel like this time 8 years ago, that, Obama got us, because when Obama got us first, was elected the first time, I thought it was basically the end of the country as we knew it.
Yep.
We're going to be in full-blown socialism. And then, 4 years happened and it was like, oh, it's not that bad. We can't let him get a second term. And it happened. And
yep.
Once again, I thought it was going to be, or actually at that point, not so much.
By that time, it wasn't as bad. But from 2008, man, I was in the tank. I was Republican. I didn't even like John McCain in the primary, but I was on board when he got the nomination. Yep. I was just like everyone else.
So I thought now would be the greatest moment ever. That would feel so great. Like, yeah, he's finally out. We're finally done with Obama. And now it's like,
the next guy's coming in.
and it's like, yeah, oh, it's great that Obama's not going to be president anymore. But then you turn around and go, oh, look, we're getting Donald Trump. Which I guess is better than saying, oh, look, we're getting Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, but anyway.
I don't know. Yeah, that's like saying, oh, I'm getting punched in the face instead of someone's not stabbing my face or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
So what do you expect from President Donald Trump?
Well, I mean, I think Donald Trump is kind of a wild card. I think we remember Walter Block starting the whole Libertarians for Trump movement. Walter Block is about as good as they get. And I think his position was, you're given these choices. If you're going to take one, you got to pick the more libertarian choice. And the most important thing is foreign policy. And Donald Trump has a much softer foreign policy than Hillary Clinton did. Therefore, libertarians should be voting for Trump if they're going to vote. Well, because lives are at stake. And
was that just for the Republican primary?
I don't know.
I thought it was just for the primary. It all kinds of runs together.
Yeah, you might be right. And I was actually thinking that as I was saying it, because I didn't hear much from him leading up to the election.
Right. Because I think once the primaries happened, I think he was just like, all bets are off. Like, this ends once the primaries are over.
Okay, maybe you're right then. That's the case. But hey, a lot of libertarians, well, maybe not a lot, but certainly some of them were backing Trump.
Right, which was interesting because some were backing him kind of for the I didn't agree with Walter Block. I remember I forget who he debated about it on
Tom Woods' show, right?
Yeah, and I wasn't very convinced at all by him. But it's fine. I mean, whatever. I understood what he was doing. I just disagreed with it. But there were a lot of libertarians out there who are on board with Trump. Like, it's not like, oh, well, you know, it's this cruddy system where we got two choices and, you know, let's just pick the lesser of two evils to make it, you know, not as horrible. I get that. I don't agree with that, but I get that. There were people saying, libertarians saying, oh, I absolutely, you know, he's going to lead us to where we got to go. And it's like,
right.
Well, I was saying there were libertarians doing this, but I don't consider him a libertarian very much anymore. But of all people, Stephen Molyneux is a big Trump guy.
He was all over it, yeah.
And it's hilarious.
He's become a joke.
Yeah, Mr. Don't Vote made a video saying, like, what you have to do is go out and vote. And then another guy kind of in the same world, Paul Joseph Watson, is now just the, you know, alt-right, new reactionary. He used to put out a lot of good stuff, and now he's just he fell into the alt-right, new reactionary trap.
Yeah, do you think it's just an anti-Hillary backlash? I mean, what is
it? I think it's what it is that the social justice warriors are really annoying and really illogical. And so what it turns into in your head is anything that they say is wrong.
Which is usually correct.
Right. But just being on the opposite side
doesn't make you right, of course.
Right. So there's a lot more to it than that. And there's a big alt-right movement and a big thing on YouTube with those people that I don't even know any of their names off the top of my head, but there's one, like, it's a bear, a cartoon bear, another one. I don't know. But they're very, like, logical, and they have, anytime that something comes across the media, becomes popular, they take it down and do their very logical step-by-step thing. But it's always against, like, social justice warriors, which is like me, and I use this analogy all the time. It'd be like me beating a three-year-old in the game of one-on-one basketball.
Which we all know what happened, by the way. I mean, that could be a pretty big win for you.
I know, because I am really, really bad at basketball. So me being a three-year-old beating a three-year-old means absolutely nothing.
But you certainly, yeah, exactly. But you certainly have the height advantage for the rebounds.
Yes, that's true. Dribbling, not so much.
Yeah.
And he probably has me on shooting too, but. And another example, because libertarians started going, you know, a lot for him was Milo Yiannopoulos.
Where he's really libertarian, though?
He's not, and he never was. He never. Right. I don't think he ever claimed to be.
No, I think I heard an interview where he said it's interesting. I like it, but I've never really like. He backed off it. He wasn't saying he's libertarian.
He actually attacked it at one point.
I'm sure he did.
And he said it was childish. And libertarians flipped out. And it's like, well, what do you expect? The guy, nothing against him. His thing is what he does a good job of what he does, but his shtick is his shtick.
Right.
So when you don't expect, you know, great intellectual stuff for someone who only has to beat someone with the intellect of an empty bucket. So it's like, yeah, you do a great job of smacking down the social justice warriors, but that's like the easiest thing in the world to do.
Right, right.
And it's not wrong to do that. There's certain plenty of people that go after social justice warriors that are also very intelligent and very good libertarians. It's what they choose to do, though. But just on by itself, going after social justice warriors isn't that impressive to me. And so you need to do more than that.
Totally agree. But that's his thing. That's his market. That's his niche. And if you're talking about Milo, mm-hmm. That's what he does. And he does a good job of it. He's over the top. Obviously, if everyone was over the top, it would be ridiculous. But I think what he does has a purpose and a need, and he does it, and he's done well with it. And
right. And I don't mean to be criticizing him.
No, but I know what you're saying.
It's just that he's not a libertarian. So just because he agrees with you on some stuff, don't, you know, make him into something he's not. I have more of an issue with the Stephen Molyneux, the Paul Joseph Watsons, the ones that, you know, claim to be libertarians and espouse all these beliefs and then just cut the wheel and make this hard turn towards authoritarianism and you know, everything else like that. What was I going to say about that? That was something different. But where were we even going? With people that, you know, supporting.
Yeah, people supporting Trump. And I would go, but let's go back to Donald Trump and what we think he might do. I mean, I don't think he's going to do this, but if he did this, I think I would say he was a better president. If he was able to get someone like Judge Napolitano on the Supreme Court, there's a seat open. I don't expect that to happen.
Right.
Oh, but if it did, he's a wild card. You know, who knows?
If he puts Judge Napolitano on the Supreme Court, basically no matter what else he does, I will say that was a successful presidency.
Absolutely. You know, I would much rather have peace with Russia and be allies or friends, right, or, you know, at least on speaking terms with Russia. I think that would be great. Scaling back in the Middle East would be great. Eliminating the war would be even better.
I'm kind of on the same page with you as, you know, he's a wild card. I don't really know what to expect, but if I were to put money on it, I think he's just going to be basically the same thing as what we've had. He's going to talk. He's going to have his personality thing, and that's going to be big, and that's going to be the whole, you know, the whole shebang that everyone's going to be going crazy about. But when it comes down to it, he's going to be the same. It's the same as Obama, which is a little bit different with how Obama was like the cool guy.
Obama, though, remember his big campaign promise, and he came through on this, right? He shut down Guantanamo Bay in the first 100 yeah. days, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but and that's really what I expect from Trump. Nothing. I expect him to be exactly what you're saying. But if this stuff did happen, that would be good. I don't expect it to. And I'm not even hope. I mean, I'm hoping, I guess, but I'm not losing sleep over it.
And we'll praise him for the good stuff and criticize him for the bad. But since I don't expect him to do anything of substance, then I hope the things that he does that aren't of substance are at least entertaining and hilarious. So for his inauguration, I hope the first thing they do is bring Michael Buffer out so he can go, "Let's get ready to rumble."
Nice.
Like, that would be amazing. And I would love that. Just like I liked that the other day with the whole Golden Showergate thing at the press conference, and the CNN reporter is trying to get a question in, and he points to him and he goes, "You are fake news."
Yeah. Well, we're definitely going to get that. That's Trump.
Right. And, you know, people are going to be like, "Oh, it's against the First Amendment." Not really, but CNN ought to not just post and outright lies. And by the way, as an aside, I don't mean to get off the rails again, but the whole fake news thing that the mainstream media and the leftists were so gung-ho about and so concerned about that, that blew up in their faces so bad and so quickly. Like, it was unbelievable. And just, it's so perfect. They go so over the top so quickly. Well,
they're losing their hold on the monopoly of their information that they had 30 years ago. And they're holding on to it any way they can, or grasping at it any way they can. They're going to throw stuff like fake news out there, like, don't go to this website, don't go to that website, get it from me, you know.
Right. And unfortunately, the side that's taking a lot of that control back over is like the alt-right.
Yeah, but I kind of think that's a good thing, because now you're going to question everything, you know.
And not to pick on him, keep picking on him, but when the that dossier came out about, and there was, and Paul Joseph Watson tweeted out a screenshot of an excerpt on it, and I texted it to you,
right?
And it was about how, you know, Donald Trump went to the bathroom and said that, you know, I take the biggest dumps out of everyone, and it was fake, it was fake news. Like, that was some, I forget. It was like 4chan or something was posting all these fake parts of the dossier. And I don't know. I assume that Paul Joseph Watson posted it as a joke, although I didn't take it as a joke when I first saw it. And neither did any of the people commenting just about.
Right.
The vast majority of people thought on who were on the, you know, anti-fake news thing took it as real.
Right. But those people, I mean, I think it became clear it was fake. And now they know, and they go, oh, well, now I feel like a fool because I got behind that. And so next time I might be a little cautious. Ah, maybe I'm wrong.
Oh, I don't. But no, these are, I mean, it was, they thought it was the fake.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Yeah, okay.
I know what you're saying. But
I don't know. I don't know if they ever.
Not everyone. Obviously, right. There's some. But some people are going to be like, oh, I just retweeted that and that wasn't real. I got to be more careful. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they'll keep retweeting wrong stuff. But
yeah,
that's how I am. Because if I do something and I'm like, well, that was a big mistake, next time I'll be more careful, you know?
Right. Yeah, you try to do your unless it's from like a really trusted source, don't just blindly, you know.
Trusted source like CNN?
Right. Well, you should obviously trust Fox News.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, they would never lie about anything to anybody.
Right. But anyway, I think that kind of wraps up what we need to say, unless you have anything more.
No, that's it. It's kind of just going to be Friday's going to come along and it's going to go, and it's not going to change anything, really anybody's lives. So
your Muslim friends aren't getting kicked out of the country. Your immigrant friends aren't getting kicked out.
But your gay friends probably will.
They will. They definitely will, because Trump had a lot to say about that. I don't even know where that thought came from. I did have, well, I don't want to go off the rails again, but I did have people on my family of mine posting on Facebook how, like, I don't know what my friends are going to do. Like, what are they going to do? What's going to happen to them? I mean, we're just going to go on like any other day, and it's the same president we had before, unfortunately.
Yep.
But that's why you can't use the state for state solutions, because it's always going to be the same. They have their interests, they have their money, and they're going to keep doing what they're doing.
Exactly. So, goodbye, Obama. Good riddance. I hope you just disappear into nothingness. Yeah. And I hope we can say the same thing about Trump, like right away, that he just doesn't do anything. Unless he undoes stuff.
Yeah, wishful thinking. No.
Yeah, I'm not holding my breath. But I would love to eat crow on that.
And yeah,
if he
did a good job.
And you know, I'm not holding my breath for this, but there have been apparently indications that Obama might pardon Chelsea Manning, and if he does, then that would be absolutely amazing.
Yeah, because he's been so good with whistleblowers throughout his entire
like I said,
presidency. But that would be a good thing. You know, give him credit where credit's due.
Right.
Of course, maybe he'll do the same for Snowden and Assange and all the others.
Right. So, do you have a market success story
this week? Nothing's coming to mind.
Okay, I do. So
good.
I think I've mentioned it a few times. I don't know if on the podcast or in the writing. I work as an engineer in a refinery, and we have to, for a lot of major equipment, send out to fabrication shops to make it. And it, you know, this stuff, equipment ranges from anywhere between, you know, a couple thousand dollars to millions of dollars. So for heat exchangers, we wanted to try a local shop to be a vendor. And one of the things we do is when we send work to shops, we have a third party inspector go there, especially because we normally don't have local shops. We got to go somewhere across the country or sometimes out of the country. So you want to have someone putting their eyes on the work as it's going through, making sure they're doing what they're supposed to. Normally shops are try their best and they're not, you know, messing things up on purpose. But so we gave this local shop an easy job to do, and we set everything up and set up our third party inspectors to take a look. And we got an email from them saying like, oh, hey, we caught this mistake they made. So it's one of those, it's like, oh, we didn't need the government to regulate the vendor or set up a third party to oversee things. We had interests that the stuff, the equipment that we were going to buy and put in our refinery to run, that we wanted to make sure, ensure that it was exactly what we wanted. So it could work exactly as we wanted it to. So we paid for someone to go make sure that was be the case for us. And it worked because they caught a mistake, and we're in the process of getting it corrected. So just another example of when people are allowed to act their own self-interest and look out for themselves, that,
you know, basically, you're saying your company didn't want bad parts.
Right. We're spending good money on stuff, and we wanted to make sure that the stuff we bought worked.
But my other question is, you said sometimes you go out of the country for stuff. I'm wondering why you hate the United States and their workers so much.
I know we do.
Yeah.
I've personally never done it because, you know, jobs. But
Right.
I've heard people.
Obviously kidding. But no, good story, because that happens all the time, every day, all over the place. It happens so often we don't even realize it.
And it's not just, you know, oil refineries that...
No, it's everywhere, in every industry.
It's consumer products too, because, you know, look at any sort of electrical appliance or piece, you know, they have. Flip it over and there's probably a UL or FM stamp on it.
Yeah, well, there's another one I saw recently. There's like a commercial for some kind of vitamin, and it says has the seal of USP, you know.
Right.
I looked them up one time. They were found in like 1820, and they just verified the purity of what's in there. Not run by the government. I'm sure they somehow work with the government, like everybody does in some way, but they're not a state function. It's a private industry, and that company thought it was important to get that seal on their bottle to say, look, this stuff's pure. It's been tested by this company. You can trust it.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's so much of that out there and everywhere. And we got to do a better job as libertarians in general to let people know that that's how the world actually works. It's not through government regulation. It's through voluntary market interactions.
Absolutely.
So I think with that, thanks for listening. Again, show notes page is mcflugel.com/22. Where you will find links to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and Stitcher. So please do that, and please share with your friends. And while you're at the website, you should pretty easily be able to find a link to subscribe to our email list. So sign up for that. Also, check us out and like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Yeah, if you have any comments, we'll be happy to respond, even if it's cuck, 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 cuck.
Yeah, and even if you're Adolf Hitler.
Because that's who responds.
Right.
We actually do appreciate the comments. So if you think we're stupid or you think we're crazy, we'll be happy to defend our points.
Absolutely. All right. Have a good one.
Catch you next week. Peace.